Well, praise God. It is good to be here, and Westchester Family Church sends their greetings, and I always appreciate Pastor Jay and Pam and their leadership that's here, and how hospitable you are, and how what a wonderful church of excellence you are. I tell Pastor Jay every time I see him that he's doing such an amazing job here of building just a solid foundation in the Word of God. And we are just thrilled to be friends with them, co-laborers with them. And it's great to meet some of you and get to know you over the years. Well, praise God. This morning, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, you're probably familiar with this story. I think sometimes we preachers, sometimes we avoid this because we think everybody knows it. And I think there's a lot of things that we preachers sometimes do that end up shortchanging people that are just coming into the faith or need to see some things on a scriptural level that they've never seen before. And so this morning, I'm going to be ministering on the subject of God is the master restorer. He is the master restorer. But let's go before the Father in prayer as we get ready to read the story of Zacchaeus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace abounding toward us. God, we thank you that you are so good to us. And Lord, that you open your word to us today. Holy Spirit, teach through me as I teach. Lord, that you would speak. And that you would even teach me as I teach, God, that you would show us truths from the word to apply to our lives in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You've probably heard me say this before, if you've ever heard me. Every time that you come to church or open the word of God or hear somebody minister the word of God, it should do one of two things or possibly both. It should either form a new belief that you didn't know before about God, or it should strengthen a belief that you already have about God. And sometimes it does both. And so as we approach the Word is alive. The Word has power to change every part of your life and my life. Now, as I begin this sermon this morning, I want to show a couple of pictures if my friends in the back, and they were so good to me. I mean, I almost broke the microphone coming in, and I'm so thankful. Those guys back there, if you don't know it, they are servants. And you should always appreciate them. Now, I don't know if you can make out what this is, okay? Where are my car people here? Do I have any car people? Is this not, there's no one? There's no car people here? Where are my people? Where are my people? Car people, wave your hand at me if you like cars. Okay, all right. Well, if you don't like cars, please indulge me with this little story, okay? This is what's known as a barn find. For those of you that like vintage things or who like restoring things, you know, God's the master restorer. We've been created in his image, right? And so this is what's known as a barn find. Somebody found this old Porsche. Porsche happens to be my favorite kind of car. No, I do not own one currently. Okay. Everybody, oh, yeah. I had somebody actually tell me one time when I was driving an Audi that was a wealthy person's car. I said, it's 10 years old. It has 190,000 miles on it. Are you going to tell me this is a wealthy person's car? I don't think so. Anyway, this is an old Porsche, and you know, for most people, they look at this and they might say, that's worthless. That's just going to be parted out for junk. Go ahead and let's see the next picture. There's another one. There's another old 1960s air-cooled four-cylinder Porsche. And I have a story to tell you. When I was in third grade, my dad was a gearhead, and still is. He's 85, just turned 85 recently. And I can remember it very vividly. I grew up in South Florida, and I was playing out in the yard, and the next thing I know, on a Friday afternoon, my dad comes tooling up with a friend. They're towing a car that looks pretty much like this. And my mom, I thought my mom was going to blow a gasket when she found out how much he paid for it. I thought, oh, dear Lord, this is divorce court here. And I am happy to tell you that my parents have been married coming up 67 years in November. It wasn't without some work, and it wasn't without some intense discussions. But little did I know that the car that my dad, when I was 8 years old, pulled into our driveway, and then he and his buddy pushed it up into our garage, and then the next thing I know, boxes came out with pieces of the motor. And my mom said, well, how much did you pay for this? And he said, $1,500. Now, $1,500 in 1973 was a lot of money. How many know what I'm talking about? It's a lot of money. And so that started a project in our household. It was the restoration project that lasted almost 40 years. It was a time-consuming process. And you know, what most people look at when they see a car in this kind of shape, regardless of what brand it is, they say, oh, that's worthless, it's just good for parts. But a master restorer looks at something like this and says, this has value, and I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna pay the price, and I'm gonna buy it. Aren't you glad that Jesus did that with us? Some of you might feel like a barn find, but you're a work in progress. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a work in progress. Well, after, glory to God. So after 46 years, this coming July, I've been a work in progress. How about you? When I called Jesus my Lord, and I loved the songs that you were singing today, I call you my Savior. You know, you're my healer. You're my provider. You're everything. And as a 15-year-old young man, when I actually made the switch from just being religious, because I knew the truths, to having a relationship, there's a big gap there. And when I made Jesus my Lord, it changed my life, and it put me on a journey of restoration. It put me on a journey of seeing how God had wired me, learning, then getting married and working on relationship. You see what I'm saying? There's all these intricacies. You find out more and more about yourself. The closer you come to the Father, the more you hear His heart. The more you understand His heart is for you. And so the process of restoration is not an easy process if you're a car guy. This is not an easy process. Let's turn there. You're there in Luke chapter 19. We're going to connect this to the story of Zacchaeus, okay? Hallelujah. Verse 1, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down today, for today I must stay at your home. And so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is a perfect picture of our Heavenly Father being the Master Restorer. When you look at Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was a hated individual. I mean, he was the tax man. And he was not an honest tax man. In fact, it's interesting how Scripture talks about tax collectors and sinners, as if tax collectors were like worse than sinners. I mean, they were considered the bottom of societal barrel, if you will. And if you've ever watched, say, The Chosen or whatever, and you see how Matthew is, I mean, he's scorned by his own people. It is not a good place to be in. And Jesus doesn't see what everybody else sees. A master restorer doesn't see what everybody else sees. They see value. They see what was purposed by the Creator himself. A master restorer looks at a situation like restoring a car. They see the car, what it not only was, but what it could be. And over the course of almost 40 years of, by the way, our family named cars. I don't know if your family ever names cars. Our family named cars. And the red Porsche that was dragged home by my dad was named Harry. And Harry smelled inside. He had rust everywhere. And sometimes he would run and sometimes he wouldn't. My dad drove that car to work, even in its horrible state, many, many days. No air condition, just the old 255, you know what that is? Two windows rolled down, 55 miles an hour. And he would drive it out to work where he worked at a aircraft, Pratt Whitney aircraft plant in Florida. And every day he'd come home, he'd tinker with it. Every day he'd spend time with it. Every day he'd come home, and sometimes I'd come home and the motor is in pieces in the garage. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? He's like, oh, don't worry, I'm just swapping out the crankshaft. Okay, Dad, whatever. Unfortunately, my regret in life, I know you're not supposed to have regrets, my regret is I didn't learn the skills that my dad has. Because I got to tell you, he's got some skills. And part of it was a lot of trial and error. But aren't you glad that God doesn't do trial and error? He knows what he's doing from the beginning. He knows what he's doing from the beginning. And when you say yes to Christ, and when you have been born again, your nature changes. You become a new person on the inside, and it eventually shows up on the outside. And when you submit to the Word of God, you will find that restoration happens. Now, we have until about 2 o'clock today, right? Just joking. So, you know, anyone can love a brand new car, right? But it takes a restorer like God to see something, to see vision. Not what it is merely now, but what that restoration can become. Now, over a period of time, by the time I am an adult and I'm married with children, I remember my dad giving me a call and he said, I'm putting it together. This is after it being torn apart again for about the 18th time. It was torn apart in the garage. He called me up. We had two little kids at the time. I have three children. My oldest just got engaged, and but he called me up and he said, I need you to come to Florida. I need your help. And so I made an arrangement, and he said, "What are you doing for vacation?" He wanted my vacation. The nerve of that guy. I love my dad. So we got on a plane, and we went down for 2 weeks. And every day for 2 weeks, my dad and I would drive to a restoration shop where one of his friends had more tools than the Snap-on man ever dreamed of. And if you're a car person, you would have geeked out on everything that was going on around that particular garage. It was air conditioned in Florida. You could eat off the floors. And you know, on one bay, they had a Ferrari in speed yellow that they were working on. And on another bay, they had a 52 Corvette, if you're an American Muscle kind of person. And I mean, it was just amazing. Classical music playing, cool air conditioned. And there is Harry. And we're putting him together piece by piece by piece. At the end of the 2 weeks, my dad decided that it was time to show him. So we took him to a national show. And he got People's Choice, which is a really cool thing. So it was like his major award. Harry got a major award, People's Choice. And it's because everybody just admired the car so much. If you could, we're going to skip ahead, guys, in the back. I want you to flip through some of the ending slides of the pictures, if you could, please. That's Harry. So Harry, that's Harry in a show that was all old classic Porsches down in Palm Beach. But that's Harry when I was in high school. I got to drive Harry for a year, an entire year. And it was pretty an amazing thing, because how many high school kids get to drive a Porsche? And it wasn't because my parents were wealthy. It was because my dad just really worked hard. And you know, he knew that I needed transportation to get to work, so he let me use it. So one day, and I was walking with the Lord at this point, one day I looked at him, I said, "Dad, how in the world are you trusting me to drive Harry?" And you know what he said to me? He said, "Everything I have is yours." And he said, "And I totally trust you." He said, "You're walking with God and you're an inspiration." He said, "I have no problem with you driving the car." And that was a real turning point in my relationship with my father. At that time, backstory, my father wasn't really walking with the Lord. So cut to the chase, soon after, while I was in college, my father recommitted his life to the Lord and is serving the Lord even today. So praise God. So that's Harry, and I wanted to kind of just talk to you about God's the master restorer. Well, what's the process of restoration? Well, sometimes you got to find somebody who needs to be found. And sometimes people don't even know they need to be found. They need to be shown the gospel, that they could be something. They could be restored, absolutely restored. And the first stage that any restorationist goes through is they got to get washed. When you go back to some of those barn finds, before you can look like this — that's my dad, by the way — before you can look like this, and by the way, Harry no longer exists, unfortunately. That's another one that looks like Harry, but it's not ours. It's a museum car. one of the things that I wanted to share with you is that when you find an old barn find, it's usually covered in dirt, as you saw in those pictures, and the vision of seeing something that is not forgotten, that's not broken, the vision of seeing something that's valuable to the owner, the vision of seeing something that is precious. God sees us that way. You know the scripture of John 3:16, even the world knows it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God's in the business of not only seeking and saving the lost, but he is a restorer. He restores. And restoration begins with that idea of redemption. Somebody has to go and purchase the barn find. In my dad's case, he would drive by Dr. Mattson's house on the way home from work every day, and he'd see Harry, the derelict car, sitting in the weeds, just sitting with weeds growing up around it and broken windows. And one day he walked by, he stopped the car, and he said, "I'm going to do it." And he went up and he knocked on the door and found out Dr. Mattson owned Harry. And he said, "I want to buy the car." And Dr. Mattson said, no, I got plans. I'm going to restore it." So my dad kind of put his head down and kept on going. About another year passed by, and finally one day he went back and he said, "I'd like to buy the car." And Dr. Mattson said, "Sure, I don't know if you have enough." And he said, "Well, how much?" $1,500. And Dad bought it. He redeemed it. Otherwise, Dr. Mattson might have left it just rot in the field for another 10 years. And as it turns out, Jesus, our Redeemer, he purchased you with blood because he saw you as precious. He saw you as valuable. Restoration begins with redemption. You know, Jesus paid that ultimate price. Grace sees our future value. Grace sees our future value. We now belong to the Master Restorer. Hallelujah. We belong to the Master Restorer. And when we understand and can grab a hold of that, we understand that that's how much he loves us. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter if you feel like the barn find, you have no wheels on your car, you feel like I am been forgotten and I'm just left here. I want to tell you today, if that's you, you're not forgotten. The Master Restorer, he's looking and he sees the potential in you. Hallelujah. Well, the next step that happens after you've been purchased, the next step that happens is now you need to be towed to the shop. You need to be towed to the shop. Well, where's the shop? Well, church is a great illustration for shop. This is where we grow. This is where we rub shoulders with one another. We learn how to walk in love with one another, and we learn how to get over offense with each other. This is where iron really does sharpen iron. When we're doing things, I loved hearing about your men going and helping the camp because they had to work together. That's what being a part of a church is all about. A community of faith who's there when you're struggling, who's there when you're not doing so well, and can help lift you up, and can help and encourage you as you continue on in your journey. And the next thing that happens after you've been towed to the shop, you've been purchased, now you've been towed to the shop. Now it's time to get disassembled. That can be painful. You know, when my dad was disassembling Harry, we found all kinds of things wrong with him. We found rust in places that you didn't even know rust existed. When you get in the atmosphere of faith, and the Word of God will reveal things in your life that need to be addressed, that need to be fixed, and not just covered up with paint, mind you. To do a real restoration of a car like that, you have to cut out the metal that is corroding, the metal that is being destroyed. You've got to cut it out, and then you have to replace it with new metal, and you've got to grind it. It's a process. You know, in our lives, when we're growing and walking with God, It is a process. The disassembly, it can be painful sometimes, but it's worth it in the end. It's an honest examination of the hidden things. See, nothing is hidden to a master restorer. He knows every inch of a car, and our Father God knows every inch of your life. He knows the hidden places, the things that even your family, even your wife, even the people closest to you don't know. He knows it all. And he still loves you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Praise God. So God removes the corruption. He brings a deep healing to us. And he looks at every situation and he brings healing. He brings healing. Turn with me. I didn't give the guys this particular scripture, but Psalm 147 and verse 3. I want you just to kind of pull this into your life right now and apply this to your life. No matter what stage of your journey with God, with the Master Restorer, I want you just to really allow the Holy Spirit to just show you what level, where you're at, what you need, work on, and God will work it if you'll be cooperative. In Psalm 147 in verse 3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of stars. He calls them by name. Great is the Lord and mighty in power. Hallelujah. So he heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted. The things that are broken in your life, when you come across a car that needs to be restored, there's some missing pieces sometimes. Sometimes there's some broken pieces. Sometimes there's some pieces that need to be remanufactured. Seriously, they don't make the part anymore. You've got to go and custom make that part. And thank God we were working with a master restorer when we were working with Harry. And he just knew his stuff. That was his shop. It was his domain. And I think about God. God knows what he's doing. And if we just allow and by faith receive what he's doing in our lives, cooperate with what he's doing in our lives, I believe we'll be that much further in the restoration process. Because God wants us to become more and more like him, to be more and more like him, so that you become, if you will, a trophy for him. You become, you're in God's brag book, I like to say. God loves you that much. Remember when we used to carry wallets with pictures in it and nobody does anymore? Am I the only one? No. And remember you used to be able to fold it out? You used to like tumble out and it would tumble out with like 50 pictures. Let me show you a picture of my kids, right? And now everybody just whips out their phone and nobody can find the pictures they want to show you anyway. Including me. Including me. So, because there's like, let's see, I actually had somebody, for those of you who don't know, I'm bivocational. I do work in the electronics industry. I remember a customer came not too long ago and they said, oh, I think I have a lot of photos. I think that's my problem. I said, well, how many photos do you have? I said, well, let's take a look. They said, well, I have 2,500 photos. I said, oh, that's nothing. I said, I've seen 200,000 photos on somebody's phone. That's nothing. And they went, it's like a lot of screenshots, let me tell you. So God, you're in God's brag book. That's how much he loves you. And, one of the things that ends up happening is God gives you new life and new power in his restoration garage. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, I remember that day for me. I got filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And let me tell you, it changed my life. As I was driving here yesterday, I found myself singing in other tongues, singing and making a melody in my heart. All day yesterday, I kept hearing just a song coming up in my heart. And sometimes when I'm alone in a car, I just love being alone in a car. I just love driving. And as I'm driving, sometimes I'm just meditating on the goodness of God. I was thinking about how good He is. I was thinking about the blood of Jesus and how it cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I was thinking about the fact that where was I going with my life when I responded to His invitation to come and have a new life. I remember it perfectly. I remember being in a church very much like this, and I was in the back row, and I remember hearing the song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I looked at my friend, I said, "Are you going down?" He was a little older than I, had taught me some bad things. He said, "No." I said, "I'm going." And I walked the aisle alone, but I wasn't alone. And I met the Master Restorer that day for real, not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. Changed my life. Then getting filled with the Holy Spirit, beginning to experience the power of the Spirit and the Word of God jumping off the pages to me. I was just mesmerized. As the Master Restorer took me and gave me a new heart, He gave me new power. He literally rebuilt the motor for my life because I was going nowhere. I didn't have an accelerator. I was going nowhere. I was floundering in school, didn't have that many friends, somewhat of a just awkward socially, and yet God saw me and began to restore me. Then, you know, God has this identity for each one of us. That identity is in Christ. That identity is so powerful. And yet that's what the enemy is attacking people left and right on, is identity. When you don't know who you are in Christ, the enemy will sell you anything. He will sell you a bill of goods. He is not the Master Restorer. God is the Master Restorer, and He knows what He's doing. God gives us a new identity when we accept Christ into our lives. He transforms us from the inside out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things," say old things, "are passed away. Behold, all things become new." I love the Greek word for new. It has to do with the idea of something that has never existed before in that way. It's not necessarily something totally like invented. It is actually a restorative new, to put it even better than when it was brand new. That's how God is. That's the Master Restorer that we serve. That is what God wants to do. And in our final assembly, one day we will see Him face to face, and we will be like Him. Aren't you glad? Are you looking up? Are you looking up? See, you'll be beautifully restored for purpose. God actually completes what He starts. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, one of my favorite verses in life is this particular verse. And there's a reason why it just resounds in me. It is just such a good reminder. Verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In other words, you and I were set up for good things. Things that he positioned for us in advance. Now, if I've ever used this illustration here before many years ago, maybe this will just be a reminder to you, okay? If God has works in my future, I'm going to use this as a symbol of works. Works are not always bad, by the way. You were created unto good works. You were not saved by good works. You were created to them. So if this is good works out here, and God is, he's the master restorer, and I'm being cooperative with him. In other words, I'm actually cooperating with the process. When I cooperate with the process, then God, as I keep walking with him, I'm going to run into good things that he had prepared for me in advance. One of the things in my life is my lovely wife of 36 years and my kids. Those are good things in my future. They were in my future when I was 15. God knew they were going to be in my future. Now, what if I decided not to cooperate with the plan of God? Maybe I'm a Christian. Maybe I've just decided to still live my life my own way. That's not very wise, by the way. But what happens is we get off track and we keep walking. And we keep walking. And what did we miss? The good works that were out in our future. The things that God wanted to intersect into our lives, we missed them because we've been walking our own way. God wants your full cooperation in this restoration process. When we were taking apart the car, there were certain quirks that Harry had. Finally, we just had to, I remember my dad calling me one day and he said, I'm gonna have to tear the motor down again, and I'm gonna have to do this, this, and this so that I fix this once and for all. And I said, okay, it sounds like a good plan. Why don't, you know, go ahead, do it. And sure enough, it fixed it. You know, God sometimes is trying to get your attention and saying, you need to get that issue, that situation, you need to get it fixed once and for all. You need to let the master restorer get in there and do what he needs to do. I remember we were working on the fenders of Harry, and everything looked great. And the master restorer that we were working with when we were putting the car back together, he said to my father, he said, now about the wheel wells. My dad said, what do you mean about the wheel wells? He said, well, we need to make sure that no rust gets into those joints that we have been cleaning with this acidic, a very acidic substance. He said, we have to clean those so clean that you could eat off of them. And my dad said, why? And he said, because the acid that we initially used to try to clean out that junk, it will start eating the metal. And then pretty soon you're going to get rust again in the fenders, and we don't want to do that. So what did we do? We crawled underneath the car, and it was the most awkward thing to try to get under there. And we had to treat and get rid of the junk. You know, God wants to do that in your life. But you've got to be willing to submit to that process. My dad could have said, oh, this is going to delay the process and I won't get this ready for the car show. My dad could have said, no, let's skip it. Let's just put paint over it. Let's just pretend like it's okay. Have you ever done that in your life? I want you just to really, really hear my heart as I speak to you about this. That God is looking to do surgery on the inside of us. I'm not preaching guilt. I'm not preaching shame. I'm not doing that. It's goodness of God that he leads us. In fact, Romans tells us it's the goodness and the kindness of God that leads us to repent. When you are actually in the hands of the master restorer, he's an artist. In fact, the word there in Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are his workmanship. It actually means his masterpiece. His masterpiece. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're his masterpiece. Now, don't drive out of the garage before you get some of those things treated, right? Don't drive out of the garage before you get it treated. You might look all good on the outside, but let God do what he needs to do. He's the master restorer. Now turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And we're getting ready to bring this to a close. Praise God. Don't worry, I'll finish by 2. Blessed are the brief. They will be invited back. That's actually not a scripture, so. And I'm sure Pastor Jay would tell me that that's error. All right. Second Peter, chapter 1 and verse 3. I want you to see something. What good news is this? His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. His divine power has given you everything you need. When we were in the restoration shop and we didn't know how to do something, all my father had to do was ask Greg. Greg was the gentleman's name. Greg, how do I do this? And Greg would take us into a room with tools and all kinds of equipment. And he'd say, you need this, you need this, you need this, you need this. And I'll show you exactly how to do it. Do you know the Holy Ghost wants to do that in your life? If there's something that needs to be addressed or restored in your life, the Holy Spirit, he will, especially if you are open to cooperating with him and saying, yeah, if everything I need is right here in the book, it's right here in the book, and it's accessible to me. It's accessible. God he's not playing a game with us. He's not holding things back from us. He's giving us everything we need. Why don't we walk in that? We don't walk in that because we talk ourselves out of it, or the enemy talks us out of it. I want to say this one phrase, and it may not totally fit here, but this has been rolling around in my heart to try to tell God's people, don't ever let Satan have the last word on anything. Don't ever let your circumstances have the last word on anything. Don't ever let sickness have the last word on anything. And what do you mean by that? Every time Jesus encountered the enemy, every single time, you study it, every single time, whether he encounters a demoniac or whether Satan himself tempts him in the wilderness, every single time, Jesus always has the last word. We need to be like Jesus. Speak the word over those situations. You get discouraged? Don't let the thought have the last word. Don't let that anxiety or depression or worry have the last word. You start speaking the word. He keeps me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on him. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I don't have to be afraid. Psalm 91 says that I am protected. And you just keep rehearsing the things of God. You rehearse the Word of God, and that is part of that equipment, that everything you need has been given to you for life and godliness through your knowledge of Christ. God gives you a new identity. He transforms us from the inside out. He gives us new purpose. When we are fully restored in Him, God is able to take you places and do things with you you never dreamed of. And you just watch God. You just watch God. He completes what He starts. We know that Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in me will complete it." So what do? Well, we allow Him to revive us. That means take something that was dead and lifeless. We allow Him to repair us. We allow Him to renew us. And we ultimately allow Him to restore us. That word means to bring back to life, to bring back to activity, to restore, to back to health. If you need healing, God wants to bring healing to your life. If you need help, you need hope, you need whatever it is you need, He has it. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of Him. And when we are allowing the Master Restorer to restore us, we will see the goodness of God and we'll be able to spread that to others a lot easier. A lot easier than if you're all broken down, going nowhere, or your motor's out on the side, you're up on blocks, and you're covered in 3 inches of dust. You can't do anything with that unless the Master Restorer comes and brings you home. But you still have a choice. You're going to stay in your barn? You're going to stay in the derelict space? I think we get too comfortable in our derelict spaces in our life. And we don't allow God's goodness to turn our heart toward Him. If we'll just ask Him, He's that good. He's that good. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise God. I hope you received that today. I'd like to pray for people at the end when we're finished. I'll be down front. I'd be happy to pray for anybody, agree with you about anything when it comes to what I've shared. I've shared that, you know, you have a choice in this. You have a choice in this. And you can either cooperate with Him or you can choose to be stuck. I believe that if anybody here is stuck, that you'll choose to be unstuck. Amen? Praise God. Praise God.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you'd like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are 3 ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.